In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Faith is rational. It is not all-knowing, so it does not know everything that God does and the reason why, but faith is still rational. The opposite of faith is not rationality. The opposite of faith is sight. The opposite of rationality is irrationality. And yet our faith is built on historical facts that were witnessed by many people. We may not have seen them, but others have. And they wrote them down for us so that we also might believe. John the Baptist did not see the miracles of Christ. The evangelist writes, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Yes, he saw the theophany at baptism, but that was all he saw. Certainly it is far more than enough to convince him that Jesus is the Son of God. And even if he did not see that, he still would have believed. For as he told Jesus before his baptism, 'I need to be baptized by you.'" And yet faith thirsts to know more of Christ and to receive him again and again. So when John, sitting in prison, heard of all that Christ was doing, he leaped for joy in his cell, even as he leapt in his mother's womb. The prison prevented him from running to Christ to see for himself, but there he is in a position where he did not want to be unjustly imprisoned, wondering when the Christ would come and set him free. He needed the comfort that the word of Christ brings. Now, we are complex individuals. John was no different. We do things for many different reasons. And so John wanted to hear of the comfort that is found in Christ, that he is the one who would restore creation, that he is the one who would reconcile and set his people free and bring them safely home to God. But at the same time, he still is the forerunner. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus. Some had already left John to follow Christ, but some still clung to John. And yet John fully well knows that he must decrease and Christ must increase. But Jesus does not answer John in a way that we might expect. He does not say, "Yes, I am the Christ, the Savior of the world." For that would prove nothing. Anyone could claim to be the Christ, and in fact, in that first century, there were many people who claimed to be the Messiah. Just as today, anyone could say, "Yes, I am the President of the United States," but that means absolutely nothing. So instead, Jesus points to his actions, to what he has accomplished. St. Luke records the same account saying, "In the hour that John's disciples came, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight." So Jesus doesn't just tell those disciples about miracles that he had previously performed, but those disciples of John witness the miracles of Jesus. They see for their own eyes that Jesus is doing something unique and different from every other prophet throughout history. Certainly the words of Isaiah must have ran through their mind, which say, "Behold, your God will come. He will come and save you. And then, when God comes, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." No prophet ever opened the eyes of the blind, but Jesus did. No prophet ever opened the ears of the deaf, and yet Jesus did. They did not give strength to the lame or sight to the blind or make the mute sing for joy, but Jesus did. Therefore, Jesus of Nazareth must be God, just as Isaiah prophesied. He must be the Messiah that God has sent to reconcile all creation to himself. For he brings restoration. He brings life. He brings the fullness of life that God intended for man. It would then be irrational to not believe in Christ. Those disciples would have to ignore Isaiah's prophecy. They would have to ignore the speaking mutes, the seeing blind, the walking lame, the hearing deaf, and the living dead. Faith is rational because this man, Jesus of Nazareth, has done something that no one else has ever done. He comes to bring life and restoration. And so John's disciples went back to John and reported the very things that they heard and saw. John saw none of them, and yet he believed. It would have been foolish for him to say, "Unless I see with my own eyes, I will not believe." But he believed what they had said. And so he believed that Jesus is his Lord and his Savior, the Messiah who will set him free from captivity in his time and in his way. He believed that Jesus indeed is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world and will reconcile man to God and restore his creation. He did not see any of it, but he believed the testimony of those who spoke to him. Like John, we have not seen Christ nor witnessed his miracles. But also like John, we believe the eyewitness testimony of those who have seen Christ. Jesus taught about love, justice, peace, restoration, and forgiveness. Now, many of these world religions carry the same themes. But Jesus proved his authority by healing countless individuals and bringing that love, that forgiveness, that healing to them. To an innumerable number, all who were sick or blind or lame came to Christ, and every single one of them was healed. And yet his greatest miracle was yet to come. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is his greatest miracle. No man can raise himself from death, but Jesus did. We may not have seen him, but Mary Magdalene saw him. The women saw him. The Emmaus disciples saw him. The disciples in the upper room on Easter evening saw him. And then a week later, they saw him again, that time with Thomas. They ate with him and learned from him and touched him. He appeared to them in Galilee on a mount and continued to teach them. He appeared by the Sea of Galilee, and Peter was so astounded he jumped into the water and swam ashore to meet his Lord. He appeared to James, the brother of our Lord. He also appeared to more than 500 disciples at one time. And then he appeared to them on that Mount of Olives, and he was taken up before their very eyes. Our faith is not grounded in speculation or in a myth, but it is grounded in historical facts. And so our faith is not irrational. One person did not see him, but more than 500 at one time saw him after his resurrection. And it wasn't just one singular event that they point to, but multiple times after his resurrection, he ate with them, taught them, and it happened in various places. No one else has come back from death and has proved it so publicly so many times. Jesus of Nazareth must be the Son of God, come to restore and to heal his people. He must be the Messiah Isaiah promised. So then again, it would be irrational for us to not follow him. We would have to ignore their eyewitness testimony. So what if we have not seen it? John did not see, and yet he believed. This is why God wrote the scriptures down for us. These are the eyewitness accounts of those who saw him and walked with him both prior to and after his resurrection. The scriptures are not like some game of telephone, as the message is diluted throughout the centuries. But the scriptures are primary sources, eyewitness accounts of those men who heard him. Their voice has gone out into all the world, their words to the ends of the earth. They did not follow cleverly devised myths. They did not suffer poverty, persecution, or even martyrdom for the sake of a good lie. No, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And you would do well to pay attention to their word. It is a light shining in the darkness. As it caused John to leap for joy, so it also leads us to leap for joy, for we have but one Savior. St. John the Apostle writes, as he saw blood and water flowing from the side of Christ, he saw it and bore witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe that Jesus is your Savior. Jesus will release you from the prison of this fallen world. Wherever circumstance you find yourself in, he will restore you back to his original goodness. He will make your legs leap like the feet of a deer. He will open your blind eyes. He will restore your sight, blinded by death, and your tongue bound by the grave. Christ comes with healing in his words, and he has proved it time and time again as he lived on this earth, and even now as he comes in word and sacrament. This is not some coping mechanism to help us get through difficult days. This is truth. It's rational because they saw him. And how can we not believe in someone who has raised himself from death? If we refuse to believe because we have not seen Jesus with our own eyes, then we also must refuse to believe in any historical account or figure, or even any current event that we have not personally witnessed. But we believe the historical figures, and we believe the current events, because people saw them and have witnessed these things and told us about it. It would be irrational for us to ignore them. So also it is quite foolish of us to ignore the eyewitness accounts of the apostles. So faith is not irrational. Being a Christian makes a lot of sense. The opposite of faith is not rationality. The opposite of faith is sight. And that is why St. Paul says, after discussing the great chapter of love, he writes, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Because now is the time for faith. Now is the time for hope. Now is the time for love. But in heaven, faith will be turned to sight. And in heaven, our hope will finally be realized. And we will live in love with one another and God forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.